The Lord is near.
Oh my. What do we say?
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Great. It's a mission conference, right? And thank you for giving me another 2 hours to preach. But it's a mission conference. And I want to start asking the missionaries to stand up. There's something wrong. I'm asking the missionaries to stand up. Now it's right. Okay, that's great. That's great. What's the purpose of the mission conference? It's to remind us, right, that we have the good news that we can share with others. To go to the Word and share Jesus like we heard about brothers and sisters doing around the world. And by the way, you're doing a great job. You were in mission yesterday. And we're in mission now. And we're in mission all our life. You know, after I accepted the Lord in Lebanon, I started going to a Baptist church not far from our place. And that church, the first Sunday, the second Sunday, a friend of mine, he introduced me to an ambassador at the church. And said, here's Ambassador Elias. Oh, nice meeting you. I was very happy to know that we have ambassadors in our church. By the way, is there any ambassador here? All of us. And I was excited, and one day he came to me and said, let's go and visit him. We went to, really, it's an area that's full of embassies. We went there, and here we are. We arrived to his place. We want to visit him. And I was excited to see the embassy. And guess what? We parked the car in the area, went down 3 stairs, and here we are in the embassy. I was surprised. Guess what? It wasn't an embassy. It was a shoes repair shop. I was, and Elias, he's there working. And Elias started talking to us verse after verse, encouraging us, and I was shocked. And here's the ambassador, and we're in the embassy at shoes repair shop. I didn't believe it. And while we're talking to him, and as he welcomed us with his smile and verses, a customer came. And that customer came, and he wanted to repair his shoes. And he told him, yes, if you wait for your shoes, it's going to be less. You pay less for that. If you wait, if you leave it and go, it's going to cost you more. Imagine this. I was, why is he doing this? Usually for the express service, you pay for, right? And this man, he was sitting there, and I was really looking to Elias and what's going on. And he started talking to him. Smile, man. Why are you not smiling? You look tired. And he started just building bridge with him and talking to him. And after a while, this Elias started sharing the gospel with him. And you know, this man, he told him, listen, man, I came to you today. I was very tired. I almost killing myself. I don't know what to do. It was a very hard time to me. And you know, in Lebanon at that time, it was bombing every day. Every day you have 50, 30, 60 people killed every day. And this man was tired. And he said, I wish we have many like you, Elias. Can you pray with me? He said, yeah, but you have to pray first. And you want to accept the Lord? And he started praying with him. And I'm watching Elias and this man accepting the Lord in the embassy with the ambassador Elias. My brother and sister, at that time, I said, Lord, I want to be like him. Lord, I really, what should I do to be an ambassador like him to you? What should I do to be a blessing to the world around me? What should I do to touch lives? And especially at this time when we were going through the war, Elias was an ambassador for Christ. Whatever is your position, whatever you do in life, the best position you have, that you are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? You are ambassador for Christ. You have the best, the good news. You represent Christ in this earth. After accepting the Lord, or after our salvation, we think it's the end of the story, right? Now it's time to come to church, enjoy all the activities, come every Sunday. And by the way, every one of us has his own seat, right? And I experienced this in our church. You know, I know people where they sit. And we enjoy coming to the barbecue. We enjoy coming to any activity at the church. But this is not just the purpose of our life. It's the beginning of a fruitful life. To bring glory to the Lord and bring people to Him. Right? And that's why we're still here. That's why the church is still here. Right? Otherwise, He will come today and take us home. Amen? Okay, great. Now, what I'm going to share with you today about things we have to do that we can be, or we can live an effective, fruitful life for Christ. Or we can be a fruitful ambassador for Christ. The first one I want to share from the Word of God that my brother was reading to you from 16 is the first one is the first P, which is prayer. If you go to verse 25, he said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Usually, people after midnight, what they do? Ah, you're right. Sleeping. And some of them, they're snoring too, right? Okay. Sleeping and snoring. But imagine Paul and Silas, they were praying and experiencing the power of the prayers. About midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying. They're in prison. Verse 16, once we were there going to the place of prayer. Brother and sister, the more we spend time with the Lord, the more we understand His will. We cannot talk to people about God before talking to God about people. Sometimes we do activities, we do a lot of things, but we're not talking to Him first. That's why it's very important that we, as a brother and sister, as a church, we have to live a prayerful life. Let's pray. I remember when my cousin came from Australia to share the gospel with me during the war, she gave me the Bible. I said, no, I don't believe in it. I don't. Look what happened to us. And you know what she said to me? She said, listen, Waleed, take it. We've been praying for you for a long time, and we're going to keep praying, and one day, you're going to use this Bible. She has faith what she's praying for. You know that lady that at one time in the farmer area, it wasn't raining, and that lady came, and they came to the pastor asking him, what's the problem? It's not been raining for a long time. And he said, let's come and pray. And that night, everyone is coming to pray, but one lady came with an umbrella. And people asked, so why are you bringing an umbrella? I said, what's the purpose of our prayers? My brother and sister, let's pray and have faith that God can change the world through us. Amen? I want to hear amen, okay, often, to encourage me. Okay? Amen. The Lord want to use us. You know, I have here a prayer of my dad. My dad, at one time, he became an atheist. And since I accepted the Lord in 1985, I started praying for him. And you know, 85, 95, 2000, 2000. And you know, it was a hard time. Lord, why you're not, answering my prayer? And before my dad passed away, 3 years before he passed away, he accepted the Lord. You know, pray. Let's pray for our people. By the way, we're talking about many areas in the country. We're talking around the world. But let's pray to our people here in the United States, by the way. We need you to be missionaries in your area, in your city, in our country. Are we praying for our presence? Are we praying for our troops? Are we praying for our people, our neighbor? Let's pray for our family. Let's pray for each other. And guess what? I found this in his pocket. When he passed away, when he accepted the Lord changed his life. I believe in prayers. Then the first P is what? Prayers. We have to pray. Second thing is proclaim. Proclaim. You know, verse 25 said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners, he continues saying, and the other prisoners were listening to what? To them. They were what? Listening to them. They're in prison, but they're not shy of whom they're praying to or talking to. And they used every opportunity to share the gospel, even in the prison. Verse 17 said, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. They're proclaiming the word of God, the only name that can save, Jesus Christ. The way, the world around us is waiting for us. You know, after I accepted the Lord, I was waiting for an answer to one of my questions. Months, and we have church not far from our place and never share the gospel with me. You know, we can change the world if we have changed first. Right? Let's start with us. Let's go to the Word. Let's proclaim the Word of God. You know, when my brother did not come home that night during the war in Lebanon, and I remember my mom called me, said, your brother did not come home. I went. I found my brother with many other people killed on the street. He was parts on the street. I knew him from one of his picture on one of his legs. It was a difficult time. It was a very difficult time. But you know, the first question came to my mind, what's after death? Where is my brother now? He's killed, but what's after death? And that question was with me for months. And I was waiting for someone like you to come and what? And share the gospel. And by the way, you wouldn't be surprised that maybe your neighbor or your friend is waiting for you to hear the word of God. I was in Lebanon going in one of the mountains, and I stopped by the gas station. An Egyptian guy there, I said, I have a gift for you. I'm going to give it to you. Said what? I said, the Bible. He said, what? The Bible? I said, yes. He said, listen, I've been here in this area for more than 2 or 3 years. And it's a Christian area. And no one gave me the Bible. While all what I'm doing, I'm watching the satellite, and I have many questions, and I want the answer, and I need the Bible. Imagine from Canada to Lebanon, to that area, people are waiting. And it's not a shame that one time when we stand before him, he said, he want to say, Waleed, your neighbor beside you, and even you didn't share the gospel with him, even you didn't give him a Bible. I want to encourage you today to proclaim the gospel. That day, I remember when my cousin came, she came from Australia. It was a very dangerous time. She came to Lebanon and she was sharing the gospel with me. And I told her, I don't believe in your gospel. I don't. Look what happened to us. My brother was killed. My mother was injured. I was injured. We lost our homes. We lost our restaurants, everything, our business. Where's God that you're talking about? Where is he? But you know, she came all the way. The passion in her heart to share the gospel with us. And you know, I want to encourage you today to remember this, that we have a duty to do. You know, I was showing you here the Syrian, Christian Syrians refugee, Christian Syrians refugee. You know, it will never happen again. Today, they are coming to our churches. It never happened in the Middle East that Muslims are coming and sitting in the church and hearing the word of God. And this is what's happening in one of the churches in the area. 1,500, they come to eat, but before they eat their supper, they hear the word of God. And in that meeting, a man approached me. And I shared the gospel with him. And he said, how you can love me, like what you were talking about today. How you can love me, I'm a Syrian and we killed your brother. And how you can do this, that you come to me and share the gospel with me. And love me and serve me. And he accepted the Lord that day. You know, I'm telling you the truth. I hate the religion of Islam. The teaching of Islam. But I love the people. It's a big difference. I love the people. I want them to get saved. I was not better than them, by the way. Today there's a lot of conferences sharing about how to reach Muslim for Christ. How to reach... I'm going to tell you something. I want to change this concept today with you. How we can reach sinners for Christ. The Muslim needs... by the way, our message, reaching Arab for Christ, is not just the Muslim. Because I believe that our ministry as a Christian is to believe, is to share the gospel with every sinner. Right? And we thank the Lord for your heart, but you're looking to just emphasize or just talk about this today, about the evangelism or to Muslims. But you know, this city, our word needs us today. I'm in Canada and they invited me for one of the churches to speak about reaching Arab for Christ. I said, I want to speak about reaching sinners for Christ. You know why? The city is full, and we need 1,000 missionary in just this city. People need Christ. And believe me, how many missionary here with we are here today? Imagine next week, every one of us will come with another one, inviting him to church. I want to see your smile. Okay? It can happen or not. You have McDonald's here? You have McDonald's? Okay. You have Wendy? Gas station? Just keep the track with you. Just talk to people. You know, in our country, if you do this, you may be killed. Here we have the freedom. And let's do it. By the way, he used to send missionary overseas to reach the Muslim world. Today they're here among you. What I heard, I'm not sure about it, but there's 12 million Muslims in the state. Imagine how many missionaries they need. In Canada, when I came, they were about, the Arabic community, it was about maybe 10,000, 12,000. Now we're over 60,000, 70,000 people. Proclaim. Let people hear you. Let people hear the word of God through you. That's why in verse 31 he said, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This is all what we want to share. It's not complicated. You know, brother and sister, just share your testimony. It's not our power. It's not our wisdom. It's not by, like my brother said, it's not something that we do just to win people. All what we do, we have the word of God that is powerful. Keep it and share it, and you will see people coming to know Christ. Amen? Depend on Him, the Holy Spirit in you, and be ready. And preach the word anytime. You see, this is the last, this is our last trip in the Middle East, in Lebanon. And I was surprised. I don't have time to show you all this, but I'm telling you, if you see the videos, you will be surprised. 70, 80 people singing to the Lord, none of them from Christian background. God is changing the world through Christians. You know, this is last week in Ottawa. My wife, we helped the Salvation Army, people coming from the Middle East, and we translate for them. They use us in translation, but we said we're not here just to translate. We want to share the gospel. And my wife started a meeting, and those ladies, and many of them, they said, we don't want to take the picture, but she's sharing the gospel every Tuesday with them. And I'm going every Thursday, and because what we feel is not the... We don't help just people. Our priority is to share the word of God. This is in Jordan. This is in Egypt. I will never forget at the time of the revolution. I was there that year, and people, they said, you're crazy, you're going there. And I said, it's a good time to go. You know, when I came to know the Lord, our church was about maybe 30 people. But because of the war and the persecution, the church started growing, 150. I'm telling you, I don't want to pray that God will send persecution here. Do it before He sent it. Okay? Let's do it. You see, this is a vacation Bible school for the kids. Imagine, this year, it was amazing. This year, we have many Muslim kids came, and the one who won in memorizing the most verses in the Bible, he was from Yemen. Imagine this. And sometimes we don't believe in this. God is opening the programs. My brother Michael is here too. He has a wonderful ministry in computer ministry, you know, website and sharing the gospel. God is opening many doors of us. Millions, they're watching. I was sharing with him today that I recorded about 35 sermons. It's broadcasted in the whole world. I show you the picture there in Lebanon. We had, after 3-4 days of that revival that I showed it to you, 50 people that get killed in the bombing. And guess what? And we said, no one will come. About 3,000 people came. And that night, hundreds accepted the Lord, and many of them, I prayed about with 12 ladies. They have the veil. They took out the veil in that day. And the thing that I was surprised about, that those people, they're not afraid to come in front. To the front. They're not shy of Christ. The third one we're talking about is pray the price. The first one is what? Second. And the third is? Pay the price. Look with me to the verse here. Verse 33. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their what? Aha. Some people, they think following Christ is staying in a comfortable zone. No, it's carrying the cross and just be ready to pay the price. Persecution, it's a big word. And thank you for what my sister was sharing today. But Paul considered it a privilege to be persecuted. And he was looking for the final glory in heaven. Maybe you are in the comfort zone. And you like to sit in the church, enjoy the time. It's amen. It's wonderful. But let's go outside. I went to a church. I was really blessed to see a big sign saying, now you're entering the field work. When you leave the church, you're going to the Word. Pay the price. You know, I was surprised in that last trip. You see the ladies here, I put them all the ladies with the veil, those from Emirates, from the Gulf, from Lebanon, from Syria. They were on TV. It was 4 satellites broadcasting live. And imagine those people, they're on the TV, and they may be killed because of their belief. Are you willing to pay the price? This lady, Bonnie, she's an American missionary. She was serving in Lebanon. And you know what? They asked her to stop sharing the gospel. And she said no. And they killed her. I know sometimes there's a price to pay. There's many of us. I know it's hard when you say, I may be killed for Christ. No, I don't want mission. You know, be sure that He is in control. If it's your time, you're going to go. It's better to do it in His will. Amen? This lady, I was surprised in one of the churches I was preaching. This lady, the pastor told me, this lady, every Sunday, she brings another lady. And you know, to the church. And this lady, if they knew about her, they will kill her. You know, Saeed, he's from Palestine. Saeed, he was a travel agent. He has a company. And he lost everything because everyone comes to his office. He has to share the gospel with them. And he lost all his clients. You know why? Because he felt it's necessity on him if he does not share the gospel. He's going to do it. And you know, okay, this is in Lebanon, Maher. I was there in that place, and you'll not believe it. We're at the door, and the guy approached him with a knife, and he kicked him on his hand because he wanted to take his kids. All these kids, they're from Muslim background, and he's coming to take his kids because they're learning the Bible. And God saved him. And when I pushed the door and get him out, we called the police and they don't have a car to come. Anyway, but imagine, there's a price to pay. This lady, she accepted the Lord. She got baptized in Canada because her husband doesn't want her to get baptized. But she insisted, there's a price to pay. And this lady, she accepted the Lord on the left. She accepted the Lord in Canada. I baptized her in Lebanon. You know, God is doing great things through us. You see, one of the things about the price to pay, these people, they come from Syria for a conference. Pastor, they drove about 17 hours in a dangerous area just to come for the conference. It's not that great. Are we willing? I don't want to talk about this, nor time. This lady, she told me, I will never forget. She said, guess what? To come to church, she walked about an hour and a half every Sunday. Because she want to go to that church that's far from her house. Because if they knew about her, they will kill her. A price to pay. You know, Pastor Turani, they killed him in Iran. Another brother in Sudan. I'm going to talk. The first P what? And the second? Third? And the fourth is passion. I have to run. 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison door open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. Imagine what happened. Now the jailer, what he want to do? He want to kill himself. Imagine with me, someone is beating you. Someone did this for you. And now it's a good time to what? To escape. Leave him alone. I don't care. No. Paul and Silas, They were waiting for this moment. Said, it's a good time that we can share the gospel with them. And this is what happened. My brother and sister, I have a friend I was sharing about that. That I know that he's the one who killed one of my friends in the city, in the area. I went to him, I hugged him, and I gave him the Bible, said, I forgive you and I love you. Is that amazing? God wants us to have passion on people. If sometimes you don't like them, imagine you don't, I know sometimes you don't like someone, but imagine in heaven he will sit beside you eternity. Okay? Let's imagine this. And let's think about this. People around us, even you like them or not, all what we have to do is to seed the word of God. Amen? I'll go to the last one. Praise. Passion. This is what I showed you before. Praise. 34. Sorry, 29. The jailer called for lights, rushed them, and they fell trembling before Paul. And he then brought them out and asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? Imagine you're praying the price, you have passion, you're doing all this, and now it's time to what? It's time for praise. If you do this, you're gonna see the fruit of what you're doing, right? And this jailer, what happened after, he told them, like you say, they brought him and asked him out, sir, what should I do? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Then immediately he and his whole family were baptized. Amen. Amen. Praying, proclaim. Pay the price, passion, and now it's time to what? It's the time of rewards. I'm telling you, you want to enjoy this? Don't let anyone steal the joy of this, of sharing the gospel with others. You know, sometimes I think about this. You know, it's not when we someone got saved. Oh, we got excited and we, you know, you see us very happy, excited about it. And remember, this is not us. The Lord gave us this privilege that we can enjoy what we're seeing. The Holy Spirit prepared the heart. All what he wants us to do is just to share the gospel. And he said, now, here's the joy. Enjoy seeing someone get saved. You know, believe me, try this. Share the gospel with others. And you will see, you will experience that joy in your life. Amen? I want to try it. Try it. And you will see it. You know, verse 29. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I have a question for you. My question was, what's after death? If I die today, where am I going to go? Huh? Today, yes. But at that time, I was asking that question. And I want to ask you a question today before I end my sermon. I want to ask you this question. If something happened to you today, where are you going to be? Are you going to be with Christ? Look what the jailer did. The only way is to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Believe what he did for you on the cross. He forgave all. He paid the penalty of your sin, of my sin. And if we believe in him, we'll have eternal life. And I want to encourage you today, don't share the gospel if you're not born again yet. You're going to ruin it. No. What you have to do, first of all, come to the Lord. If you didn't accept him today, you'll never happen, you know. It never happened what's going to happen to you if you leave this church. I remember when I came to Canada, I started working with an insurance company. And the manager told me, Waleed, you don't have insurance, life insurance. I said, no, I don't need it. And he told me, yeah, we don't need you too. Said, why? He said, if you don't believe in it, you're not going to sell it. We're not selling. Right? It's the grace of God. It's free for everyone. For you and me. And imagine what you have today. You're going to take it and share it with others. You know, I was in Jordan preaching in an outreach. And then I went back to baptize those people. They're all from not Christian background. In Lebanon and Jordan, just one of them, that he was from Christian background. That's my son. That he got baptized in the Jordan River. Why I'm sharing this? I want you to remember the joy to see your family, your kids, your neighbor, people around you get saved. Isn't that a joy? I like Paul when he said that I finished my race with joy. With joy. I want to see the smile on your face. Are you ready? Are you willing? You know, these people that you see in the picture, they got killed without Christ. People praying, like you see, the churches is destroyed completely. Those people, they left without hope. I want to ask you this morning, who is going to share the gospel with them? I want you to just remember this verse from Ezekiel 33:8. And we want to read it together, okay? Why you don't read it together? Let's read it together. When I say, I don't hear you. Continue. You shall surely die if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. Oh. You have also 1 Corinthians 9:16. It's a mission week, mission conference. We're reminded, right, to share the good news with everyone and every one of us. At the end, I want to be sure that no one left this room, this building, without accepting Christ as the Lord and Savior. You'll never know when you're going to die. You have to have Christ. Otherwise, you'll be in hell for eternity. Or you choose to be with Him. It's your choice. As a Christian, what do you think? How's your prayer life? How's your prayer? How's my prayer life? Are you praying for your family, your church, your neighbors, your country? Are you proclaiming the gospel of Christ? Are you willing to pay the price? Do you have that passion to reach people around you? At the end, you're going to experience, you're going to see that rewards, people coming to come to the Lord, and you're going to have that joy seeing them coming. Amen. I'm going to give you another 2 minutes. Pastor, come please. This 2 minutes. If you did not accept the Lord yet, it's time to pray and invite Him. As a Christian, maybe you're not living a prayer life, you're not proclaiming the gospel. It's a time for dedication. It's time to say to the Lord again, Lord, yes, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start proclaiming. I'm going to start sharing the gospel. I'm willing to pay the price. You going to do this? Let's close our eyes. Don't, Don't you know that I told you about those people? They're not shy of Christ. They're willing to die for Christ. It's time. If you did not accept the Lord, the pastor is here. I'm sure he's going to pray with you. But why you don't stand up? As a Christian, if you're willing to do it, to pray, proclaim, if you're doing to do this, why you don't stand up? Say, Lord, I'm here for you today. Don't be shy. Amen. Good. Amen. I want to encourage you today. Amen. 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 Yes, it's in the presence of the Lord. Yes, you're committed. We're committed to do this. To the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is anyone else? Don't be shy. He wasn't shy on the cross for you. It's a commitment time. It's a time that if you didn't believe in Him, come to Him. Can I leave it with the pastor to continue?